Anyways, on this episode of the Nerd Brand Podcast, we're going to talk about in digital realm, we all reside in the more brand awareness strategies pop up, the most prominent being influencer marketing. John, don't throw up in your mouth.
Yeah, actually, we touched on it a little bit yesterday when we met with a certain client.
Yep.
And it's just, it's sometimes a good option.
It is.
Just got to see where you can plug it in.
Yeah.
Where it's applicable, like anything else.
There's celebrity endorsements everywhere, but now it's not so much an endorsement from celebrity. It's more or less like the celebrity's product.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost an endorsement of that and the influencer marketing as a byproduct of the product. That's not good English, but we're going to go with it.
I know, but I think I know what you mean. It's kind of like whenever you have like a dad that coaches a t-ball or a softball team and they're like, has three daughters. I'm like, okay, that's like 3 out of 9 positions taken up. Okay. Haven't had that happen to me, by the way.
Yeah, sorry.
Dude had twins and another daughter. I'm like, okay, that's 3 positions taken up. I don't want to say that too much because my mom in the other room may, you know.
Michaela, yeah, for those that are that listen to this episode, Michaela plays sports ball. We just found out she's actually doing that.
So
we're gonna, you know, get your team gets going.
It was actually a pretty good game this past week. Not to get off topic, but yeah, it was pretty, because the last game I went to, it's been sporadic with the holidays and illnesses here and there, and then my vacation. I haven't gone that much, so this was only my second time during this term or session, is what we call it. Session, I think, is what we call it. The dog whining in the background kind of caught me off guard. Sorry. I'm like,
the dog's alive. It's okay.
Is the tea kettle going off? That's why I call it tea kettling. Now everybody knows why. But no, just a better vibe. Everyone was kind of negative the first time I went back for this first session, and everyone was kind of new still. And they're like, who's playing what positions? It was very scatterbrained. And it was like that still a little bit this time, but we communicated a little bit better. Like, you two take wing, you take middle, and then you guys go up. Goalkeepers, obvious, because they got the gloves. It's just, it ran a lot better. And I noticed that I need to be, you know, more vocal on my part too, because I know how layout of the field should go and be like, hey, no, I'm over here. You need to go over there.
Go away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You with the gloves on.
Two people do not need to be on one person.
Sounds like you're about to become captain of that team.
Honestly, the person that is running it, I think, is looking for prospects for people to lead the team. And I'm
that's usually how it goes.
Well, if you know the layout of the field and where everybody needs to go and whatever,
people do need to where to go, but I feel like people just kind of get it. And like, let's take this into consideration. We're all adults, it's all different ages, and it's, you know, a Wednesday night. So people's lives are kind of scattered throughout the week, and you're not going to pay that much of attention. You're just there to have fun. It's a social league, it's not a Premier League.
It's not all competition, but
some people still have that competitive mindset. Like, we're messing it up. We're not doing it right. Like, what is this? Is this YMCA T-ball like league? What is this? But so I understand that frustration, because we're like, come on, we can do better than this. But it's just everyone needs to do their part and communicate. And I saw that there was a bunch of new girls that came too, and we had plenty of subs. So it was just much better aura.
Yeah.
To it.
So, well, sometimes fun is a group, you know, effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's exactly it. I'm like, I don't want to keep telling these people over and over again, like, we need to, you know, talk about who likes to what position, because everyone has different weaknesses. And I feel like with my knee injury, I'm like, I want to hang back on defense sometimes, but I notice people aren't, you know, they don't have the ball. People aren't upfield. So how are you going to score a goal? So then I'm like, you go back and I'll run. And I'm usually the runner. I'm sprinting. I sprinted a lot because I got close to the goal a bunch. And, you know, I just need better control, ball control.
Yeah, we're going to sneak a photographer out one time on a Wednesday night and get a photo of her and the team once they get kind of solidified with their names and jerseys and stuff. Because that'd be kind of
neat. Oh, we don't wear jerseys. We get colors. We're the white team. So we throw our white shirts. I have to borrow all of Pete's white workout shirts, because I'm like, I don't own. Who owns white workout shirts? Because, like, sorry, when you sweat a lot, just the pit stains you get off.
Yeah,
like, no.
You're basically just going to like JCPenney and to the men's t-shirt aisle and throwing away after they get like stained.
Yeah,
it's his old like high school, like the Planet Fitness, back when they started giving you, you know, the t-shirts whenever you got your first membership.
Yeah.
And it was like that solid eggshell white. And I'm like, that's going to get ruined.
Yeah.
That's what I use. And then he has an old lacrosse shirt that I use from time to time as well.
Well, I mean, people will see photos of you kind of dovetail into the influencer stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. it's it's a tool, it's a mechanism that people say like, oh, I didn't know Michaela was doing that. Because I've had over the last 6 weeks people ask about you and wonder where you are.
Where could she go?
Yeah, because you were at the Cereals and Convos, and that really shocked everybody.
That's why I didn't take any pictures, because people were literally coming over, like they were gravitating towards me, and it just felt nice. Like, or I was, there's certain people that I didn't see for a long time and wanted to catch up with them. So
I think
whoops, no picture.
I think a lot of that is that we're in an industry that has a lot of churn, and so they probably, I mean, they know John. They don't know John half the time because he's not out as much, and they've seen my face, and we're way past them not seeing my face anymore. So we need some other faces out there.
Well, you can take my face with you.
Just get like a stick with your face on it. Yeah. Here, he's just here.
It's better than nothing.
Anyways, Michaela, what's the four groups?
The four groups. So you got the mega and celebrity influencers, like the big dogs like Kim Kardashian and Travis Kelce, and big name faces that can really carry that their stature and the famous.
It's really amazing that he's next to Kim Kardashian.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's been
came out of nowhere.
Big
I mean,
name.
Not to say he's not accomplished things to get that notoriety.
Like, but I hear ads on the radio with him in it, but people that like when you know that the song is about to come on and you hear his name right before they're about to like cue back the songs, I'm like, nope, it's going to be a Taylor Swift song. It's going, let's listen to country. Anything else but this.
Imagine that.
But no, that's the influence that his name is carried 100%. And then those are more your like large enterprise corporations that, have a budget and resources, money, needless to say, they have money. And then they're targeting a broader audience with various characteristics, and then it's usually more high-end luxurious brands that have that sense of exclusivity to it.
If you don't have a nice budget, you ain't getting them.
No, you pay what you get for, I think is what Mitch would say, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I like how you have it broken up. Like, there's the macro influencers, the 100K to 1 million followers.
Mm-hmm. It breaks down by like the number of followers. Mm-hmm. So this is second tier.
Because we had that happen to us where somebody wanted to do. They're not going to name names or for what or anything, but they wanted to do something, and we looked at like how many followers were on Instagram, and the person that we work with like knows this industry and is like, they're short a few thousand for that price. a few thousand followers. So it kind of matters because. It's not a vanity thing. It's the audience. Like, you want as much reach as possible. It's sort of like the way radio sells itself. They'll tell you like how many millions of impressions or listeners and it's like
monthly listenership.
But the question that needs to be asked is, who are they? And is it related to what I sell and do? Because you could be talking to the wind and talking to, we just talked about another brand that's paying for radio ads. It's totally not the audience for them to do anything. They actually need to be cutting into an audience that's way younger, different interests. And so, get very granular on the tactics with that. So if you do influencer marketing, you got to think about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Blaze Pizza recently use some influencers. I don't know who they are. I don't follow that.
But I haven't saw that.
Yeah, they had a couple of girls that were doing some stuff. That's all I can tell you. I don't know. I'm not the audience. I'm not going to respond to that for me. Right. I'm just like, I'm a 47-year-old fat guy. Just give me a pizza and a root beer. I'm happy. I don't really have to have and be convinced.
Don't sell
anything.
Me on your pies.
Yeah, I'm not going to walk into I am not the demographic that walks into the store and goes like, I'll take a half a pizza and a salad. And I'm like, nope, I'm just getting me the whole pizza, please.
Yep.
See, I love
two, three pizzas. I'll be all right.
Yeah,
three refills.
Exactly. I'm pretty simple in that. But I guess you're going to do like other stuff, then you need an influencer to be like, hey, have you tried the meatballs? And
meatballs are really good. They really are that one person at the party that's just perusing the snack station, like, you really should try these mini weenies. They're really good.
Hotels and airlines targeting a specific but large audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I saw that under, what was it? Yeah. Social Sprout?
Not
was
like
this the article that I,
Not like your Motel 6 down the road, but like you're probably thinking like resorts and travel destinations and things like that.
Yeah, like your Marriott's and your, not your Holiday Inn, so to speak, but you know, your Marriott's. That's really the only one I could think of.
You're like Sandals or, you know, yes, down in the Bahamas and Caribbean and whatever. Yeah, there's no shortage of those influencers.
Yeah, I think the easiest thing for most places is to get the micro.
Mm-hmm. That's usually because that's a lot of the ones I've run around and just locally, Louisville ones, because they run around. The two that I've encountered with have about 18,000 followers and very much have their foot in the brand and marketing and industry here. One of them works for a DJ.
Yeah,
company,
radio station.
Well, you can pull data from websites on demographics because, you know, the government does do a census. And was it last one in 2021 or 2022? I don't remember.
I want to say it was 2020.
It's every 10 years.
Every 10 years? Well, I know that was in the it was in the 2020s. I know it's that.
2020.
Yeah.
Probably. So probably came out. The results probably came out in 2020.
Actually, I think they wanted it to come out because I remember when it came out because I was like, ooh, a survey that I get to take.
it was more like you have to take.
Well, you know, it was like the things that you enjoy right when you get into adulthood, you know, like drinking alcohol, taking consensus surveys, you know.
Voting,
things like that. Things, just those little privileges that you get to do. And I remember, I think it was around 2020, because what a memorable year that was for all of us. And then it got pushed back to 2021, I think.
Maybe. But they go door to door a lot, and so that's I guess they probably did delay it.
But the demographic in Louisville, the age, the average age, the average income, is very different than what it was since the last one. The previous one, it was 50s, 60s, and the income was 35-40k a year. Now it's average income 60-65k, and the average age is my age group, like in their mid-40s. So it's very different demographic. You would think that it would age out or whatever, but you know, after the pandemic or whatever, I mean, just during that time, a lot of people were moving already. You know, there was always stories about people leaving like California for, you know, because Austin had a boom, and as of 2023, they had a huge boom of people coming in. And
Austin,
so
or California?
Austin, Texas, or Texas in general. I say Austin because they're all kind of together. If you look at a map, right? You know, you got Austin, Dallas, Houston, like they're in the what they call the triangle, and then. Yeah. The rest of Texas is desert.
Then you get San Antonio at the very bottom.
Yeah. And I visited a friend years ago to Austin, and driving to San Antonio is like,
oh, I'm sure that was
it's like a little bit longer than, at least it felt like a little bit longer than driving to Nashville. And of course the roads are built differently. So you're doing 100 something miles an hour cause it's flat.
Yeah.
We passed a outlet mall that just didn't stop, and I was like, yep, they do them bigger here in Texas for sure. Tons of people left primary states, like other than just California. I mean, they left Illinois, they left, you know, some of the flyover
expensive metro areas. I mean, California, I think, still netted, you know, intake. They took more people in than they lost, but yeah, that was a big
But I haven't seen any influencer campaigns for like, I think in 2021, we ended up seeing something from a city or small town in Kentucky that was doing more of a tour. It's like tourism,
trying to brand the municipality.
Yeah. And so they were trying to get the word out, like, come here or whatever. And that's kind of right in the vein of what you would use influencer marketing for, because they're telling you and convincing, because it's all persuasive, right?
Yeah. It's usually showing something fun or enjoyable or whatever.
Yeah. So, and then, the nano, I didn't know this was a thing. Nano, it's less than 10,000.
When I was writing this, and this was written a while back, it made me think of...
Nanu?
Yes. Mork and Mindy.
Yeah.
Robin Williams.
I always think of the...
iPod.
The Nano Baby. Is that what... Nano Babies? Is that a thing, or did I just make that up?
They had the iPod Nano.
I think you just made that up.
There used to be, like, I don't know, when I was a kid or, like, maybe a teenager, there were the... It was a little thing for just a little while, but it was like a digital, I don't even know how to describe it.
Oh,
it was
like
a pet.
Okay.
It was like a pet, like sort of. Yeah. I think it was a baby.
Oh.
It might have been pets, but I feel like they call them nano babies or something like
that. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Nano pets, maybe.
Talked
about. I just lost the name of it. But yes, I know what you're talking about.
I feel like
about.
It had Nano in the name. I'll have to look it up now.
Well, anyways.
It's been decades.
It's been decades. It's felt like a Nano minute. Yeah. Okay. Lozenge. No, we're not drunk.
Tamagotchi.
Really?
That could have been it, but there was something else. There was something with Nano because there's a reason that's poking me.
Yeah, so you got your mirrors the same execution listed under micro influencers. Mm-hmm. So it's tailored content. I mean, the pattern here that everybody should pick up on is like it's all tailored content because of who you're talking to. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just age group, it's their background, it's their job, what they do, what they like to buy. I mean, there's all kinds of things that go into a consideration of an audience when delivering a message, because you obviously want them to do something because that's what you're asking, is for them to take action.
You're trying to tap into their influence. And so they may be known for practically nothing, but they have an audience. You know, there's plenty of streamers and stuff on Twitch that, I mean, I'm not knocking them, but they're not really delivering anything.
Consistent content.
Well, they're just not really delivering anything. You know, they're not delivering physical products. They're not doing anything like that, but they have amassed an audience through their personality or, you know, through their gaming or whatever it is. You're tapping into that because they have authority with a set of people.
And, yeah. I mean, Twitch has almost positioned itself as, and I don't think it'll ever get to this, but almost like a rival to YouTube. But it is very centric to that personality, whereas it's a channel on YouTube, so it can be a little bit more broad as a brand or whatever, but that's a person on Twitch because it was all streamers for gaming to watch them play games, or whatever, which seems incredibly boring to me to watch somebody else play a video game.
Really,
but,
though?
People love it. So
I loved it whenever, you know, he had it on the big TV out here that we see and watching there playing Fortnite. I'm like, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I watched one guy play Fortnite for a while, but I was watching on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because they cross-platform a ton.
Felt like a Fortnite.
Yeah. And I kind of get the appeal because his comments, it's almost like he's riffing as he's playing.
It's entertainment.
And then that's where that comes. Yeah. So that I was like, okay, I get it. I
mean, Noah's five and he likes, you know, as much as I try to keep him off YouTube, it's like his favorite thing. And that's what he gravitates toward, is these people doing streaming, voiceover, you know, just off the cuff, being excited, fake exciting over reaction videos, things like that. That he just latches onto it and eats it up.
Yeah, the reaction video thing on YouTube with the influencers there, it's the recently it was a SS Sniper Wolf got some heat for physically stalking somebody that said something about her, like totally kind of going off on the rails on that. Anyway, that the reaction videos being disingenuous and all that, you can kind of tell when they are and when they aren't. I mean, because I sometimes like the reaction videos to a certain extent.
It's like anything else. I mean, if it's acting, then that is what it is. And you watch plenty of things where people are not being authentic. They're being an actor.
Right.
Doing a bit.
There's really no difference.
Yeah, they're way over the top. And you kind of can tell that's not really motion.
Yeah.
You know, it's rehearsed.
It's like whenever they're like, they're at a wedding and the groom is cheating on the bride with their sister. Like, what? And you're filming all of this? You're filming the bride, you know, smashing the car with a baseball bat? What? Rather than, you know, mediating?
Right. That always struck me, too. It's like, who thinks to take a phone out at this moment, you know?
Well, so much of that stuff is scripted and staged. And yeah, I mean, it's rampant. Like,
Well, you know, when you get so many, like, views and time viewed, you start making money on it and it's monetized. And I don't know how Twitch does their monetization, but you know, people figure out how to game the system, whatever the system is, and then that's what they'll do. I've noticed a lot of TikTokers, there's a lady that gives, like, that talks about, she's a TikToker, she holds her phone, she slides into the view of the mirror, and she talks to women about men and how men think and, you know, don't do this, no, da, 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 da. And she's not incorrect on 90% of what she says. But now when I go onto TikTok and I see her and it's an ad, it just doesn't come off the same. You know, it doesn't come off like this person wanted to develop content and commentary with their voice and their intent. Now it's their voice, their intent, their shtick.
Yeah.
But hey, buy some gum, you know? Right. And it just,
I've seen a lot of sponsored ads like that on TikTok.
Yeah, they have to say this is a sponsored ad or whatever now.
But it gets, you get confused almost because you get, we're in such a scrolling habit that we're like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the person, it looks like they're having like a full frontal portrait, like interview. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, that's sponsored by Delta Dental or whatever. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I saw like the guy that was like, let me tell you something I didn't learn until I was in my 30s. And I watched some of his stuff and it's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how you would buy at the store, the how stuff is compressed in like the packages that's kind of hung on the, like the thing. I'm kind of looking around your room here and on the camera, like, is there anything here I can point to that y'all know?
Sorry, there's not a lot.
Yeah. What I'm talking about. But anyways, you'd pull it off and you're always like grabbing the scissors and trying to cut it out of the plastic and then get it out. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out if you just grab it on the edges and you squeeze, it'll pop apart. Mm-hmm. And then that's how you open it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
More you know.
Yeah. See, now y'all learn something
new. Every,
yeah.
See? You really do learn something new every day on TikTok. If you're on there long enough, you'll.
And John's in his 30s, so he really did learn something in his 30s.
Yeah, every now and then.
And the other sponsored one was, we're talking about this with a client the other day, was the ear thing,
mm-hmm.
where you download the app and it has a camera on the scraper for the ear thing.
The earwax cleaner or whatever.
I always scroll past that because you could see in the center sponsored content, but it got me at first because I was like, oh, there's that thing again. And I'm like, oh, it's just an admin.
Right.
Yeah. But when they throw that message and that kind of stuff into an ad, that's just, my brain just to me goes, nope. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not watching that.
Like the disclaimer?
Because the content's entertaining, it's humorous and all that, and I like it. But the moment you throw it into an ad, it breaks down. It's kind of like what Mitch goes to say when he's like, you asked too much of it to do the thing, than it originally was for. Anyways.
Does it work then? You know, I mean, yes.
I don't know that
it's obviously been successful in certain scenarios.
Yeah, it has to be. Otherwise, people wouldn't pay money for the ad to do it if they didn't get a return.
I've bought things because I saw it on, I didn't see a formal ad on the TV. I don't do it often or anything, but like I have been exposed to something new that I didn't know existed. And I have either entertained the idea of purchasing it or have purchased it as a result of seeing somebody talk about it on the internet. I mean,
you got further down and you were in the awareness, and then in that funnel, you know, you're now further down into that journey. You just haven't converted yet. So obviously there's the price, how it was pitched, the message, something was off to not get you further down to want to click and buy or go through with it. Or it could just be the normal consumerism in you where you're like, I need to see this maybe eight more times.
I hate buying stuff.
Yeah, you know.
Honestly.
Wasting money.
But it's still the same kind of methodology. Even though if you're using an influencer to try to sell a product, you got like 8 to 12 touches you're still going to have to make before that person makes a decision. So if you think like one touch a week, that's 12 weeks of, you know, people forget time and the sense of running
trying
ads.
Trying to tap into that, word of mouth and just a personal recommendation. A referral goes a longer way than running an ad, basically. But, it's kind of a gray area, like we're saying. It's like, especially lately, and most, especially the big influencers know that with the FTC, they have to say this is an ad. They have to say sponsored at the beginning. Does that limit its effectiveness? Probably, in a lot of cases.
Yeah, because it kind of sets it up to like, here's a thing you hate seeing. We're going to interrupt the show.
It's not authentic. It's like you may actually like this person. You might watch their channel often. And then, like you said, they come out of nowhere with, here's a thing that I just want to sell because now I've gained some notoriety and some authority and I'm just going to monetize that. Well, now you feel like sort of like the product the most. You've been monetized as their audience. And it's like, then you lose the genuine.
So is it an effective strategy to do this, influencer marketing?
For me, I always come back, and you've heard me in meetings. I'm like, when the whole NIL thing, you can say, if you don't believe in influencer marketing and that it can be effective, then that whole NIL thing, that's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It is influencer marketing. I mean, I think there's definitely a place for it. I think with certain products, 100%, I think an unboxing video can get in front of the right audience and make some people buy it. We've seen absolute crap loads of impulse purchasing happening on TikTok and TikTok shop and being driven by the just the simple fact that people are posting videos about a particular product. So
people have been pushing a lot about convenience of things too, like lifestyle, thing, like a apple cutter. Or one thing I've noticed with like moms that are making lunches for their kids is cutting those strawberries and like, you know, having to do the intricate little slices. Nope, not anymore. You just put cut it in the thing. Yeah, you put it like through a little slicer thing. Of course, cut the top of the strawberry off first. But that and then just gonna eat the whole strawberry.
You talk about eating strawberries and I'm just sitting here going like, I've never really bought strawberries and just said like, that'd be good today. Now strawberry preserves, you know, because again, fat guy, like
we gotta get this man eating strawberries. Strawberries are like probably the best thing.
I brought out the charcuterie,
did you almost die?
Did I eat what?
Grape.
I saw you eat a grape.
I do. I like grapes. Like there's fruits that make the pass, like apples, grapes, and all that.
No, I'm rarely strawberries. Orange.
No,
no strawberries.
They don't make the cut.
No, strawberries don't really make the cut.
It's like one of the best, man. Yeah.
I went to somebody gave us you know, food once. I'm not going into
that's very detailed.
Yeah, I'm not going to go
someone
into,
gave us
I'm not going to go into the story and why. If you see me in public, if you need to know the story, you can ask me later off mic. But it was like, anyways, it was very sweet. I opened up the bag and I looked at these, like, they're about the size of golf balls and they're brown, they're kind of fuzzy, and I didn't know what they were, and I thought they were potatoes, but a weird one. And I thought, well, maybe they gone bad because they got fuzz on them. And then I cut one open and it was a kiwi, and I was like, oh, that's what they look like. And I was like, nah, I'm not really
without those. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not really into these things. So, you know, I didn't keep them, but I was giving them.
What'd you do with them?
Threw them away.
Threw the kiwis away.
I did. I mean, I don't know
if you took them outside, threw them at people, or gave them back to the people who grained them.
They look like that if you threw them at people, that would hurt. They were kind of pretty solid. You know,
I was honestly, when you said the size of a golf ball, I don't know. You said size of a golf ball, and the first fruit that I thought of was a damn coconut.
Michaela,
what are you playing golf?
Yeah. What kind of golf do you play?
It's more of a softball than a golf
ball. You play Flintstone golf?
Yeah, for real.
Big club.
I'm gonna whip out my T-bone to hit this coconut. It's hole in one.
I mean, kind of going back to the effectiveness and where I was going, and like I said, you've heard me in meetings. Yes, I think it can be effective, but if you're going to drop, especially thousands of dollars, and you're looking at a return on investment situation, which you should be if you're spending media dollars, what's the opportunity cost of going down this influencer marketing route versus? Because if you have to think about it, if you're doing it right, you're thinking about it on a CPM level, and is there going to be a return on investment? And the CPM of partnering with influencers is usually really, really high if you do the math.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that versus what you could take that money elsewhere and go place in actual media where you have all these targeting options, you have the data, you get to control the medium, you get to control everything. It's kind of a toss up. Like I think for the right product, the right brand, if you can get the right influencers, it can actually, it can have a huge return on investment that is not matchable by traditional, you know, regular media. But generally, I think your money's probably, you're going to get a better cost and return on investment by going into these highly targeted channels that, again, give you all the control. But that's just me, maybe.
No, I mean you're trying to think of it from a perspective of like a return on ad spend,
right?
And you know that ROAS, which is, I know we're throwing a lot of acronyms out right now, but in our world we kind of have to. I mean, because that's what we do. We don't throw that in front of a client because they don't really know or care. They just want to know if it works.
Yeah.
And we're not saying it doesn't work. We're just saying that you have to be smart. Marketing has lost a lot of faith, a lot of people have lost faith in it. And I've said it before, it's don't throw spaghetti on the wall and think you're going to get something in return. You know, you have to think about it more before you do it.
And would you consider like going macro with the nano? Because the nano seems like, you know, the more affordable route,
low
budget route, having an immense number.
I think your headphones cut off.
Your mic.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm like, what the heck is that?
No.
Going macro with the nano is would it be more advised to go, you know, like hundreds of nano people, you know, behind a product or a brand? Yeah.
High volume versus.
Yeah, high volume with that. Would that be a smart route? Because you're still, you know, still playing well with your money or your budget because, you know, it's an affordable route. But also, it makes me question, like, which kind of influencers, like, what's their ethic like? What is it going to mirror everyone else what they're doing? Or is it just going to make everything messy?
Then it becomes a brand, kind of a brand identity image problem, too. To me, there's that element to it of, again, why I emphasize you have control. We always want control of the brand. Mm-hmm. We always want to make sure the brand identity is being followed, that the message is not, you know, conflictual with what we put out in other channels. It gets harder. You have to coach those influencers on what you need them to say, but then it gets less and less authentic. And some influencers are not, you know, as you get to the upper tier of those folks, they're not open necessarily to you determining what they say and how they present this product because they want it to be authentic. They have a lot at stake of staying authentic.
When you go nano, you can probably find people that really actually like the product. So it's authentic when they talk about it because they genuinely do like it. You know, it's like I get to talk about this and I use this, whereas if you go, like you said, macro on the nano, you're now running the risk of trying to manufacture excitement and happiness.
It's like you're trying to duplicate and clone everything.
Yeah. Anytime you try to manufacture emotion for a response, it fails in personal lives, in advertising, everywhere. It, you know, that's why authenticity is such a big thing right now, is because people want to.
You can't manufacture.
Well, we're in the age of people really, they want to feel something, but they want to feel it to the utmost extreme because, you know, of COVID and everything has been numb. And as we go into an election year, so if you want to feel something, it's either extreme rage, anger, or it's extreme adoration and love. It's not, there's no kind of middle ground. So your influencers are really now challenged in doing this work because they have to go to those extremes. Otherwise, it just doesn't land. And then to your point of brand control, well, maybe the brand isn't an annoying ass, you know, so that's not going to work. Yeah. You know, maybe it's just a little snarky.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think you can water down your brand. You know, and I think to your point, too, is I mean, obviously some of it, a lot of it depends on what your budget is, which direction you go. But again, if you're managing 100, 200 influencers, I mean, I've seen people tell these stories. I've never managed anything like that, but I'm kind of going on anecdotal secondhand knowledge. But you have 200 people that you're trying to reach, each of their individual audiences, and you kind of know, if you've done the strategy right, you kind of know who their audience consists of. You're trying to reach a particular demographic, a particular target audience. I still go back to like, okay, so you're going to have 100 people produce a video, each produce their own video probably in some form or fashion, even if it, you know, there's obviously hopefully a singular line of connection between all of them. But couldn't you take that money and produce your own video that's like good and then run that, if you know the target audience, run that run that ad through the typical ad channels. Like, again, I know you lose that word of mouth, that personal referral element sort of. But like,
well, when
your money go farther,
when you manufacture something, you're creating a repeatable thing. You're creating a template. A templated thing, it's like stamping out something on an assembly line. You know, it's the same thing over and over again because it's cost effective, it's quick, and it gets spit out, and it's just repeatable. Advertising and products and people are not. We're all custom. That's why there's the word. It's literally in the word template and custom. We do this in web. People all the time, they sell websites. Like, how much you pay for it? $5,000. All right, well, they bought a template and the rest of it was hopefully covering labor, talking to you, writing copy, and putting images on that web page where that template has a place for that to go if it fits. And I guarantee you they go over budget all the time because every website takes the same amount of time to make no matter what it is. And that always is like, it's a manufactured thing. We fixed how many websites in our careers that Oh, it's another template. And then we have to like flip it to.
It's usually the same template.
Yeah, it's usually the same one bought over and over.
Same few.
Yeah. And, you know, you need a custom solution because they buy that template and it looks cool in the demo, but nothing of your content. You don't have that kind of content to make it look like that. So you're just going to have a regular plain Jane old website, which is okay because all you're doing is lead gen or whatever. Mm-hmm. You don't really need to have a lot of bells and whistles. Anyways, the point is that, you know, when you start to manufacture something, you're going to lose a ton of things.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be any room for innovation. There's not going to be any room for ad-libbing. It's manufacturing. It's very strict. It is this and only this over and over and over and over because we got to get it done. We got to get it out. So, you know, when you do video or somebody sells video, then it's their style of shooting, their equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're going to sell it in mass, it's your commercial is going to look like somebody else's in tile, in tone, lighting, color, audio, all of those things that matter because all your senses are being engaged. It's a manufactured video coming from a manufactured place as opposed to a custom video that has more time taken to it that, that sets it apart from everyone else.
Right.
But that's why it's custom and it costs more because of that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying skating a thin line here to not call out people and names and stuff right now. But that's really what's going on. It's like you think you're getting something good, but you're really not, unless that place is gracious enough to give you the raw files.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can send it to another shop and ask them if they can clean it up. Because I've had people send me video and they want me to like make a cut in the video and re-edit something in.
Yeah, but from the final product.
Yeah, and then there's music in another layer playing through the whole video.
Right.
So it would be just like having early on when Jacob would run sound and not let the sound effect play through and it just stops. And then you're just like, that's giving me like OCD issues. Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it stops you in your tracks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the crafting of what makes an ad good is as important as having a good ad. And influencers, they have to be mindful of that, but they're really not. That's not their job. Their job is to
The good ones I have seen, they will follow, you know, they will ask for a brand guide. They'll do those things. But, you know, that nano micro influencer who's just kind of figuring it out, still finding their success and doesn't come from a background of branding and marketing, probably has not heard of a brand guide.
So. Yeah. I mean, when we work with photographers that have a branding and marketing mindset and background, it's way different.
Yeah, for sure.
Than working with a photographer that takes just pictures of food or takes pictures of, you know, people or events or whatever. It's just a way different.
It's like when you go to the chocolate factory and then you go into like the actual chocolate factory.
Yeah.
And it's like everything is just low hanging fruit. And you just go nom nom all day.
And I think on that note, that's how we'll wrap this episode up is nom nom. So you can like, subscribe and nom nom NerdBrand at nerdbrandagency.com/podcast. And you can find us on the socials everywhere at NerdBrand Agency. And we appreciate you listening. If you have any show ideas, let us know. You know how to, we're open for you to talk to us. John may get around to answering some comments on Facebook. There's some messages that come across. I know he's not had time to read. I haven't either. So basically me telling you to leave a message. I guess I shouldn't tell people to leave a message then.
Leave a message.
Yeah. You
leave. I read them. Beep. I don't read all the spam ones.
Yeah. Leave a message after the beep. Beep. Beep.
Our Facebook page doesn't beep. Sorry.
No. So anyways, next podcast every Friday morning, drops, automated already. So ready to go. Don't wait for it to be on my social media channel. Cause it's already out there before I post it. Just putting that back out there again so everybody doesn't like rely on my LinkedIn to see when a new episode drops. Because I don't know, what if I start posting something besides the podcast on my LinkedIn channel?
What if?
Yeah, because Michaela, you're posting stuff on the podcast and we got other members on the team now. So, you know,
there's also a big old email form on the nerdbrainagency.com/podcast where you can sign up for alerts. And if people sign up, we'll start sending emails.
Yeah. We got like 4 or 5 names and people don't really want to, it's a podcast. So they're kind of, they're on Apple or Spotify or whatever, but if they're on the website. Yeah. They don't want to sign up. They want to give an email. We're not going to blast you with spam.
No.
Yeah. We're not sending coupons.
New like, episode or like,
Buy one ad, get one free. That's not how this works.
Nope. Sorry.
It's strictly for the podcast and alerts. So anyways, you guys go check that out. We appreciate our current listeners and we'll see you next week.
Did you know everything is an ad?
What do you mean?
All expressions related to a brand are an ad.
You just blew my mind.
Yeah, don't let overthought advertising strategies get you down. Just have your why and a budget and leave the rest to the nerds. To chime in on all the latest branding and advertising pointers, listen to the Nerd Brand Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more.